joy. So Matthew chapter 4 tonight, this message this evening. Remember last night, we were looking in Kings. Remember what Elijah said, if the Lord be God, follow him. Now I think tonight that we would say he's God, amen? We believe the Lord is God. It's the following that we struggle with. And I wanted you to know tonight, you're in good company. If you struggle in following the Lord, you're in good company. And if you sit here tonight in this building and say, I don't struggle with follow the Lord, then you're a liar, all right? Because that's our flesh, is it not? And there's always that battle. And sometimes you gain victory in areas, and then God says, wow, I'm so glad you're following there. Here's the next one. It's like when you figured out that 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4, and you thought, I have math mastered, and they walked in and said, today we're going to talk about X plus Y. And you said, am I in the wrong class? Where's the grammar teacher, you know? And they started doing X's and Y's, and I'm saying that because my boy's been doing algebra, right? And it's been on my head for the last couple of days and trying to do those things. And, you know, anytime you think you have something mastered, God says, good, now here's the next step. And that'll be your life as a Christian. But that's good because that's growth, amen? And that's victory and that's battles and conquering because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Matthew 4, if you have your place there, we'll begin the reading in verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders. I'm not going to continue reading all the descriptions, but jump down to verse number 16, because the midst of the prophecy about Christ was that the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Aren't you glad that light sprang up in your life? That God saved you, sent the gospel to you. Don't you love hearing how people got saved? I love hearing how the gospel got to people's lives. You know, somebody invited them to church, gave them a gospel track. Somebody said one thing and it struck them. You never know. I just love hearing how people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's always different. But true salvation rests on Christ, not the experience. But the experience is fun to talk about. And light sprang up in your life. But then verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, and here's the statement, follow me, and I will make you fishes of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Now, what do you suppose he said to them? Follow me. And the Bible says they immediately left the ship and their father. And there's that statement again. And followed him. I'm going to speak tonight about following Christ. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus encountered these men. This is not their first day they saw him. And as a stranger, he walked by and said, follow me. If you remember, they had been exposed to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had preached and preached and preached and preached the kingdom. And it was John, when Jesus came walking, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And I say tonight that salvation precedes following Christ. And following Christ is not salvation. Salvation is the grace that God gives to you. The following is the works that you do for him. And we are not saved by our works. We're saved by his grace. And there are some people that are saved that unfortunately are not following Christ. They've believed, they've trusted, they're going to be in heaven, but they're sure missing the joy of following him. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's always easy. If you remember the first verse that we read back there in verse number 12, what was taking place during this time, it says that Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. There's battles in the Christian life. I've told the story many more times, but it's fresh in my mind tonight. Brother Adrian, like the first day, had mentioned to me and asked me about my friend in India, Brother Sudhir. And I actually haven't heard from him in quite a little bit of time. And that same night, I got a text or an email from Brother Sudhir. And it just said, praise the Lord, 5 people baptized in the Krishna's River, you know, and they sent a picture. And, you know, they're in jail. They're suffering over there. They just had elections over there. And Mahdi now is ramping up the persecution. But you know what? They're still following Christ. And praise the Lord for that. And that's the situation where Jesus is here. And he says, follow me. Look over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. This is Matthew. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, and there's those two words again, follow me. And Matthew, he arose and followed him. The simplicity of the choice to say, I will follow Christ. Look over in the book of John, chapter number 1. The book of John, chapter number 1. The interesting thing about following Christ is that he has a path for each of us. And it's not the same. The path that God has for me in following Christ is going to be distinctly different than the path that God has for you following Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because as I'm following Christ, and maybe here in Castlegar this week, and in another church next week, and another church the next week of that, and then over in Africa or India or Zimbabwe or wherever, I have to be following Christ wherever he leads me, right? But if God doesn't lead you to Zimbabwe or Africa or someplace like that, you still have to follow him, right? He might lead you to live the rest of your life in this beautiful little town. And be faithful to your church and pray and love the people in this community. And that's just as much as following Christ as the guy that sells everything and goes to the darkest corner of the world, if it's the path that God has for you, right? You know, sometimes we think, well, if God doesn't call me to be a preacher, then I'm nothing. No, you're everything if you're following Christ. Praise God for young men and young ladies that get jobs and get married and have a light in their workforce and follow Christ in that way. Because God has a special path for every person. In the book of John, if you're there, chapter number 1, we took it read about Philip in verse number 43. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, just those two words again, follow me. What a simple message that Jesus Christ began his ministry as he was assembling those that would do the work of God. He gave them a choice, follow me. When somebody says those words, follow me, I suppose there's some things that we could understand that implies. If I said to you, follow me, we're going someplace, then obviously I need to know where we're going, right? Have you ever followed somebody that didn't know where they were going? Or maybe you didn't think they knew where they were going, and they took you another way and got the same place. Oh, wow, isn't that amazing? Yeah, I think sometimes following Christ is that way. God says, follow me, and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You say, now, wait a second, Lord, that's not the way we're supposed to go. But remember John 14, Jesus said, I am the way. Isn't that amazing? Now, how many of you know everything? No, I don't know everything. Have you ever found out that there was another way to get somewhere than the way you thought? Oh, sure. Sure we have. And you just knew that person was wrong. And sometimes it's just in doing something, right? That's not the way to do it. It won't work. It's not the right way. And then they get it done and you're like, oh, wow. I didn't know you could do it that way. Now, let me say something. God's way is the only way. Amen. But his ways are what? Higher than our ways. Do you understand that tonight? And it's so amazing to me that when we say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. You know, we've all been on a trip before maybe, and we said, I'll follow you. And the person started going the way, and we raced in front of them, you know. And now you're in front, and guess what you got to do? You got to make all the decisions. I don't like leading in a trip. I like to be the guy behind everybody else. You know why? Because I don't got to think. I can just drive. I can just get behind them and follow them and follow them and follow them. And where they go, I go. And if we get to the wrong place, it's not my fault. Amen? It's their fault. Because they were the leader. And I just followed them. I really don't like, even when I know the way someplace, I don't like being the guy up front. I really don't, because you know what? Everybody behind you is going, there's another way. Or you're not going fast enough, you're going too slow, you can't keep them happy, you know. But if we really believe that the Lord, He is God, and we're following Him, and He starts going faster, we're not talking about Pastor Klein on the trails, amen? Amen. I got to tell you this. There's a scheme going on here, all right? It's called work off the food and then stuff you back up. You know, it's just, whoa. I know, we've had a great time. But the Lord sometimes slows down, doesn't He? Has He ever slowed down in your life? Oh, sure. You ever been patient? Hurry up, God. I'm just following You, Lord, because You know the way. And sometimes God's going too fast, isn't He? And you're like, I hope He doesn't turn. Well, guess what you better do? Catch up. Because following is trusting the fact that He knows the way. Each step I take, God is leading me. God is in control. I am following Him. That's the decision that the disciples made when they forsook all else and they said, we'll follow You. Now here's the reality. I believe they meant it with their heart. But did they always succeed? No. They struggled. And you know what I want to say tonight? I hope from the bottom of your heart you would say, yes, I want to follow Him. I'm so glad that He's a merciful leader. That even when we fail, He helps us get back on track because He knows the way. I think when you say the word follow Me, though, it also does give us another implication that there will be something going on, action. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible talks about how Jesus both was doing and teaching. Following is not about knowing. Following about is about doing, all right? And so, when God says, follow Me, guess what He's going to do? He's going to go somewhere. Okay, He's not like me, you know. I say, all right, follow Me, let's go. And then I start talking to somebody for the next 20 minutes, all right? Okay? I don't think God's going to do that. When God says, follow Me, guess what that means? He's going someplace. And so I believe that in the Scriptures, when you make a decision to follow Christ, in any area of your life, you have to expect some changes to take place. There's going to be action in your life. Either some changes of involvement in things that you were not involved in before. You know, in the church, when you say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to follow You. Get ready. You might get involved in the music. You might get involved in the nursery. Let's see, Vacation Bible School is coming. You might do something in Vacation Bible School you never did before. Because God said, okay. You follow Me? Here's what you're going to do. You see what I'm saying? Following Me leads to some action, all right? Look at Mark chapter number 8 for just a moment. Mark chapter number 8. And we'll pick up the reading, verse number 34. It says, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, not the cross of Christ, but the path that God has for you, take up his cross and follow Me. Here's what this entails. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In context, that's not a salvation verse. It's talking about losing your eternity. But what a wasted life when you live your way instead of His way. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels, ashamed of our failure to follow. Following requires a denial of self. Taking up your cross and doing what he says. Sadly, many say, I'll follow. Look at Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. We'll pick up the reading there in verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, Jesus did, follow me. But this man said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, following is going to require an action. Something that God wants you to start doing, or it could require something God wants you to stop doing. You see, part of revival, part of preaching, part of the Word of God is changing our life. And honestly, if God is not given the access to change our life, then we don't gain the benefit. I would ask you this question tonight. What changes will be in your life because of what God says to you this week? Because following is action. And then I just had this little thought that when we follow, there's the thought that someone else will follow us. Let me read you a couple of verses. You can look at them if you'd like. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul make some interesting statements, and we'll read three or four verses in a couple of different places, but see what Paul talks about here in verse number 7. He says, For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. But it's interesting how Paul says there in that verse that ye know how ye ought to follow us. In verse number 9, he says, Not because we have not power, but he says, to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 4. Verse number 16. Paul said, Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul said, You know you're supposed to follow us, and we're supposed to be an example that you can follow. And he says, I beg you, follow me. And then in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he kind of helps us understand what this means clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, he says, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, could I ask you a question tonight? Would you be willing to stand before people today and say, follow me? Do what I'm doing. Live as I'm living. Talk as I'm talking. Act as I'm acting. Because I'm following Christ. Because you see, when you take that road trip, you don't necessarily want to be number one. I don't. But you know what? If I'm number two, it's real important that I follow number one. Because there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 right behind me, right? And if I get so far behind, I lose sight of number one, I could lead the rest of them astray. If I get in a hurry and pass number one, they just keep following me. Do you see what I'm saying? And our life is to be such a life that we can say, not boastfully, not pridefully, but truthfully, I'm following him. I don't know the way. I don't know everything. I don't have all of life's problems figured out, but I'm following the one that does. And if you'll just follow me, I'll follow him. And it'll all work out. That's how we're supposed to live our life. You say, well, preacher, I got lots of problems and I got lots of mistakes and I don't know everything. Yeah, but it's not hard to follow. Amen? Do you understand that? It's not difficult to follow. You say, well, my fuel tank's about out. He's got a bigger tank. Well, God knows. Amen? That's the difference between our human illustration and God's illustration. Follow him. I love this verse in John 8, and then we'll go to John 21 and I'm done. This truth is powerful. John chapter number 8. Look at verse number 21. In context here, Jesus has been teaching in the temple. They wanted to destroy him. Even the previous verse, they couldn't lay hands on him because it was not his hour. He was in control. No one killed Jesus. He gave up his life on the cross at the exact time. The exact hour is when he died, according to God's prophecy. That's our God. And in John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, I'm sorry, I'll get on the right page here in just a second. Yeah, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, this is a promise, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm saying tonight, the verse that I referenced a moment ago was verse number 20 about them trying to destroy him. But I'm saying tonight that God is in control tonight. Our responsibility is so simple. Follow him. I love this. John chapter 21. I guess when I connected this in my own mind in the scriptures, it was a great help to me about following Christ. Jesus began his ministry. Read those verses 20 minutes, 25 minutes ago in the book of Matthew or the book of Mark. Jesus called Peter with two words. What did he say? Follow me. He called Andrew with two words. What? Follow me. Philip, two words. Follow me. Matthew, two words. Follow me. Jesus had a simple message. And we can look at many other verses where he just summed it up and he said, here's the key. If you want the key to the Christian life, two words. Follow me. He's now been crucified. At the crucifixion, they struggled, did they not? Now Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus said, nice words, Peter, but I know you won't. You'll deny me three times. See, God knows everything. You're not going to surprise God with anything you do. Isn't that amazing? You ever thought about that? God in heaven tonight is not shocked about any sin that takes place in this world. Or listen, when you get backslidden, when you fall, when you don't read your Bible, when you make bad choices, God in heaven doesn't go, uh-oh. I heard a preacher preach a message that he said, God has no uh-oh moments. We do, but God doesn't because he's God. He knows everything. And we have a choice. When we mess up, we have a choice. We can keep going our own way, which is going to be a disaster. Or we can come back and follow him. It's that simple, isn't it? Peter had one of those uh-oh moments in his life, but it wasn't for God. Because Jesus already knew. He said, you're going to do it. Peter didn't do it because Jesus said he was going to do it. Peter did it because it was on his heart and God knew it. And he did it. But you remember, after the resurrection, Jesus went back to his disciples. And even Peter was the one that said, I go fishing. I love the story how Jesus came and basically said to them, so how's your fishing working out, Peter? We've toiled all night, you know, caught nothing. They weren't succeeding. When they finally came ashore, there was Jesus, and he had fish and bread cooking over a fire. Now, what would you rather have? A slimy, wet fish you just caught, you still got to cook and clean? Or would you rather come off the boat and find fish already cooked and bread ready to eat? Amen. Following Jesus is way better. But Jesus isn't done. He has the dialogue with Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Verses 15 through verse number 18. Not going to study that tonight. But draw your attention to verse 19. He's still talking to Peter in verse 19. It says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God," referencing Peter. "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him," unto Peter, what are those two words? "Follow me." This is his last message to Peter. "Peter, I know you love me. And I'm just testing your love. And Peter, I'm helping you understand that there are things that steal our heart away. And there are battles in this life. And don't forget, Peter, you said you would follow me. And don't forget, Peter, that I've come back to you. And Peter, let me remind you of something. When I met you 3.5 years ago, I gave you two words. Follow me. And I've been teaching you and showing you. And Peter, don't ever forget. Follow me." But sometimes we're like Peter. Because in verse 20 it says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Remember that story. And in verse 21, "Peter seeing him," seeing John, the other disciple that was there at that moment, "saith to Jesus, Lord," isn't that interesting how we get, "and what shall this man do?" Hold on. That's what we do, isn't it? God says, "Follow me." And we start thinking, "Now, Lord, just a second. What should Cameron be doing? What should Calvin? What should Aunt?" You know what I'm saying? "What should Brother Dave be doing? What should Josh be doing?" You know? And that's what we do, isn't it? If you're following someone, should you be looking in the rearview mirror and seeing what everybody else is doing? Is that how you drive? Looking in your rearview mirror? You're going to get lost. If you're following someone, what are you doing? So why is that rearview mirror there? I don't know. I've never figured that out. I drive forward, amen? I don't have one in my truck. You get the point though, right? Because God is speaking to us tonight, and he speaks to me specifically, and he says, "Bill Smith, follow me." Let me go see what the other preachers and evangelists of the world are doing. Lord, what's so-and-so supposed to be doing? Amen. Churches do that. God says to a little church in Castlegar, Canada, "This is what I want you to do. Follow me." Well, what are they doing over there? Amen. And people in the church, God says, "Follow me." What's the pastor doing? What's his wife doing? What are those people doing? What is so-and-so doing? We're just like Peter. Oh, by the way, I read through a little bit fast, but go back to verse 20, because what was John doing? "Then Peter turned about and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved." What was John doing? Following. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we're so worried about what someone else is doing. Not my business. I've got one business. You know what that business is? Follow him. By the way, I think the Lord said, "Okay, Peter, look at verse 22 and I'm done. Jesus saith unto him," he's talking to Peter now, he says, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Could I say tonight, yes, we should have a burden for others. Don't misunderstand me. I think we should pray for other people. But friend, sometimes it's not a burden, it's just busyness. And Jesus said to Peter, this time it's three words, "Follow thou me." When God says thou, can you think of some other places where he said that? "Thou shalt not." Did he mean business? Yeah, how many of you ever talked to your kids that way? You say, "Come on, get in the car," right? And they're still playing ball. And then all of a sudden you say, "Andrew, get in the car." Is that, do you mean something then all of a sudden? And then you say, "Andrew James Smith," amen? Yes, sir. Well, tonight, maybe we should put our name right there. Because God says to me, personally, that I am supposed to follow him. He says to you personally, follow him. Now the big question, how? How do I follow Christ? I'll give you a simple answer. Take the next step that he tells you to do. that simple. It really is. If someone's saved, the next step is what? Get baptized. If someone's baptized, it's to be in the church. It's to read our Bible. It's to pray. It's to put off and put on. The next step. Be careful because I make this mistake. What's everybody else doing? Oh, I could never make that step. That's not your step. Amen? That's not your step. You don't remember this, but I can tell you something. When you were about whatever age you were, you didn't think you could crawl. But you did. And then you didn't think you could walk. But you did. And then you thought you'd never learn to read. And some of you did. No. You understand what I'm saying? You never thought you'd get married. Some of you did. Some of you still hoping to. You never thought you'd graduate. You never thought you'd get a job. You never thought you'd work in that company. Maybe you dreamed of it, but down in your side, you're thinking, I just don't. But you know how you got there? Here's how you got there. You kept taking what? The next step. Whatever it was. Did you ever have a sin you thought you would never get over? You know what? We all can say today, I've gotten over some sins. Are there still some sins to get over? Absolutely. You know how I'm going to get over them? Take the next step. Take the next step. That's how you follow Christ. You say, well, that next step is really big. But it's really not if it's the step God wants you to take. Because He's going to help you take it. Let's pray.